Welcome to Small Business Spoonfuls Podcast, a laid-back discussion of the serious HR topics and trends of today. Sponsored by HelpDeskForHR.com.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our show. My name is Aaron, and today we'll be answering questions throughout the show. So leave us a comment. We'll answer you as we go along. If we run out of time, we'll answer in the comments after the show ends. And same goes for if you leave a question after the live stream ends. Also, if you don't have time to watch us live, we'll have the replay on Facebook and also the audio recording through our Small Business Spoonful podcast on Apple and Spotify. So again, if you're not familiar with me, my name is Aaron Bowen. I'm the social media and site manager over at Help Desk for HR. We've also got Mason, who's our head developer and producer for Help Desk for HR. He's in the background. You can't see him right now. And then, of course, we've got the lovely Lisa Smith, who is our SPHR, SCP, EEOC Certified Investigator, and CEO of Help Desk for HR. She's got all the titles. How are you doing today, Lisa?
I'm doing good today. Thanks, Aaron. This is going to be a really great conversation today. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. So if you guys didn't read the headline for the live show, what we're going to be talking about is OSHA on 420 issued an additional guidance addressing whether employers need to record adverse vaccine reactions on their 300 logs. I'm going to let Lisa get into the nitty gritty of this because I am not super up on all of my OSHA regulations. It's been a while since I studied all that. So Lisa, take it away.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, like you said, Aaron, on April 20th, this was issued. And if you go to OSHA.gov, you'll find that there are some FAQs that they've also updated regarding the 300 logs and the 300A form that employers post. But basically what the FAQs are updating to cover is the issue of when an employer mandates the COVID vaccine, and then heaven forbid we have a workplace injury that results. So what they're telling us is that they are going to consider any, you know, negative or adverse reactions to be work-related injuries of sorts. So, you know, let's say for instance someone had the Johnson & Johnson injection, you know, shot, vaccine, what word am I trying to say? And then they got a blood clot, which a few people did, not a lot, but a few. Well, then that would be considered a work-related injury or condition related to work. So the new guidance basically says employers who require employees to vaccinate must record any adverse vaccine reactions they learn the employee experienced if the reaction meets one of the standard criteria that triggers an obligation to record under, and I want you to make a note of this, this would be the obligation to record would fall under 29 CFR 1904.7. And there is an explanation for that as well in the new guidance.
So a question on this. So this is falling, is this falling more under like paid sick leave or actual workers' comp at this point then?
Yeah. So here's the deal. Paid sick leave is going to be state to state. And so that could very well be used. The paid leave that we call the paid COVID leave that we had last year that was under the FFCRA, that was the emergency paid sick leave and the emergency FMLA, that's no longer mandatory. But a lot of employers are providing that paid time off on a voluntary basis through the end of September under the American Rescue Plan Act. Now, what that act says is that if they are voluntarily extending this paid leave, that if an employee wants time off to go get the vaccine, or if they then have a reaction and they need a few days off to heal from the reaction, these are reasons that they can take this emergency paid sick leave. And then, of course, the employer would take their reimbursement for that paid time off in the form of tax credits from the IRS.
Okay, that's awesome. So, I mean, it's definitely, like you said, kind of going to depend a little bit state to state, which is, it's always fun when they have, when federal agencies mandate a federal law and then it trickles into, you know, a state by state case. Fun for everybody in our groups. I know that for sure. I say that sarcastically, yeah. Of course. The other question I had is the 300 logs. Can you kind of go over that for with me a little bit? Because I kind of know what they are, but I'm just curious a little more in depth and for our people who might not know as well.
Okay, so yeah, so the OSHA 300 form, it has like I don't know, 3 pages to it, I think. And so on the 300 itself, basically the person who's reporting, the supervisor or, you know, the safety manager, whoever's doing the recording, I should say, not reporting, but recording of the workplace injury, kind of describes the case by listing the location of the occurrence, the date of the injury or the illness, and the specific area of the body that was affected. The OSHA 300 form asks for the outcome, including days away from work, job transfer, or, you know, other information of that nature. But every year, the employer must actually post the 300A, which kind of has a similar piece of information on it, but it has the details of actually the entire injury or, well, not the entire injury, but it has a little more detail on it. And those have to be posted. I believe the posting dates on those are between February 1st and April 30th. And so it's just a short period of time every year that those logs have to be posted. And so you can go and you can download the 300 series at OSHA.gov as well. And you'll be able to see they have very specific information on them. And I'm sorry I didn't have that pulled up for our live today. But yeah, go download them there and you'll be able to see all of the walkthrough on that.
Okay. I think this whole thing is interesting to me because I would, like in my mind, I would think HIPAA would factor in somewhere along the lines as far as, medical information from your employees, to a certain extent, because I would think, you know, just on a day-to-day basis, if an employee went and got a flu shot, obviously they don't need to, you know, necessarily announce it to their employer that they're going to go get a flu shot. And which people do have adverse reactions to that sometimes as well, you know, wouldn't necessarily tell the employer that they need paid time off to handle that. So the whole COVID thing and the COVID vaccine is kind of throwing a little bit of a curveball into that. I don't know if I'm 100% correct on that kind of synopsis, but do you have anything to kind of point what I'm saying in that direction?
Yeah. And, that's a good question. Since COVID, has been designated a state of emergency in a worldwide pandemic, it's different than flu. And then employers are seeking to mandate, you know, these vaccines, which is classified a little differently than an average flu shot, even though some employers do mandate those as well. Sometimes people have a little arm soreness afterward or feel a little icky and, you know, so, but there's never been like a real law that said you have to give people or you should give people paid time off and, you know, those types of things. And like, that's a workplace injury and all of that. But we've seen with the COVID vaccines that there have been significant recovery periods for people. I mean, some people get the vaccination, not a problem, feel a little sore, go back to work, no big deal, all the way up to like the terrible thing about the blood clot. But somewhere in the middle there, we see a lot of people who need 3 or 4 days off because they literally can't move this arm. Or like one person the other day told me that they got it in their, I guess, their left arm, and that entire left side of their body just was in serious pain for about 5 days. We had someone else who said he got it and he was flat on his back with nausea and vomiting and couldn't drive and couldn't work, you know, for like a week and a half. And so like, that's not everybody, but there is enough occurrences that have been recognized by the federal government that now they're saying, you know, while they don't want to discourage people from getting the vaccine, at the same time, they understand that this is real. And so people are going to possibly need time off work. And if an employer is mandating you have to get this or get fired, then you're kind of responsible for what happens next, is basically what they're saying. So that's why they're calling this a work-related injury. And heaven forbid, like, somebody would die after taking the vaccine. I mean, hopefully that's not going to happen. But if somebody did, then that would be a workplace fatality if it was mandated by the employer. Now, some employers will just simply recommend, we'd love it if you got vaccinated. Let us know if you do. And, you know, we'll know, you know, what you can do and what you can't do inside the workplace or whatever. You know, like they just say that. And so if it's just recommended or encouraged, there's no responsibility there, according to OSHA. But when a company says do it or pack your bags, then that's where there is going to be a little bit of blowback here if someone has an injury from it.
Okay, that's interesting. And I'd actually had a follow-up question based on that you're talking, because I know, like you said, if it's not mandatory that the employee gets the vaccine and they do, it's not mandatory for the employer to log it on a 300 log, and it's discretionary. What would be the pros and cons, the pros on logging it versus the cons on logging it, based on that on that discretion? If that question makes sense, I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, so you only would log it if your company mandated it. And so if that is the case and you are required to then log an adverse reaction, it just kind of goes against your whole workplace safety situation. Now, I'm not going to say it affects it like as if somebody fell off of a ladder. You know, that kind of thing could very clearly mean that you were not following protocol with how you trained and monitored your employees to use a ladder safely. So that's going to be a slightly different view. Like, you know, you'll see workplaces that say we have so many days without an injury, you know, our safety record is this and so forth. And so it's a little different with the vaccine because it's not like you purposely didn't keep them safe or, you know, you put them in a position to fail. But by mandating that they must get it or hit the road, in a way, like you're putting them in a world that's unknown. Because not everybody reacts the same. So they may have no reaction, they may have a minor soreness, and then they may be down for 2 weeks. You know, so you're putting them in a position to have to make the decision to possibly get injured, if that makes sense. And so it's slightly different than their typical workplace injury. But at the same time, OSHA is saying, hey, you did this. Because if you hadn't mandated it, your employee may not have got it, and now they wouldn't be in this situation.
Okay, that makes perfect sense, actually. I really appreciate that explanation. I don't really have any other questions based on what we've talked about. Do you have any other comments to bring up or any other points from the law here?
No, I just encourage everyone to run out there and, you know, go to OSHA.gov and look at the release and take a look at it. If you're a help desk member, then we're going to be posting the information on our site so you can find it. And we send out emails, you know, that have a little alerts in it and stuff like that. But you can definitely come and look at our blog and see our breaking news there. So that'll go up today. And yeah, I mean, it's really not huge news. It's definitely just something to take note of and to make sure you follow through. And as an employer, it may impact the decision that you make on whether or not you want to mandate the vaccine. So that will be one more consideration for you.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point because I know from what I've seen of HR workers and general management is that paperwork is not everybody's favorite thing to do. So if you are going to mandate vaccines, you are going to have a heck of a lot more paperwork. So keep that in mind,
guys. And liability.
And liability. That is extremely true. Extremely true. Yeah. But hopefully it does come down to a safer workspace environment, especially if you have, you know, quite a few employees. So awesome. Well, thank you for your insight, Lisa. Always a pleasure. Thank you, everybody who joined us live today. Again, if you want to leave a comment after we're done being live, we will answer it as quickly as we can and as accurately as possible. You know, we know the laws are always changing. But thank you again to our viewers. And until we see you next time, stay out and secure.
Yep. Take care. Bye.
If you would like to learn more about our team and the services we provide, head over to helpdeskforhr.com. Our 8,000 plus members enjoy the essential training, tools, and support they need to keep up with ongoing legal changes, as well as maintaining solid HR and employment law compliance. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you like what you hear, we'd love to hear from you, either by leaving us a review or you can email us at support@helpdeskforhr.com.